You may be seated. So a couple of weeks ago, while on Christmas break from school, Hayes was being a very, very good boy. He was cleaning his room, and he was doing such a great job, and he was getting, you know, some acclamations for doing a great job. He got everything organized and put away and all that. I guess he was feeling so good about himself that he wanted to go a little bit above and beyond and do a little bit more. So he decided to go ahead and do his own laundry, too. Well, somehow, this took place without either Jessica or myself realizing. All right? So, and he was telling us about it the next day. I took my clothes and I washed them. I said, well, you mean you took the laundry basket down to the laundry room, right? That's what you did, right? No, I cleaned them. Did you use the washing machine? Did you turn it on? Yeah, of course I did. Oh, okay. And did you use soap? Wait a minute. You got to put soap in it? I thought the water did all the work. Friends, pray with me. Heavenly Father, we ask you to reveal your Son to us this morning, that we may know him as Lord, that we may know him as King, the only true King that we have, the only one who could ever bring us to a place of repentance, of forgiveness, and of salvation. And Lord, now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The wise men came from the east. We talked about it with the kids this morning, and we don't know a whole lot about these wise men, only that they came from very far away. They came from the east, very far away. That they came following a star. That they had prayed. And that they knew that a king had been born. And we know that they were wise. They were magi, is the word that is used. Magi, though, in Scripture isn't usually associated with something that's good. Now, these wise men, these magi, were associated with something good, but usually, when magi are referred to in Scripture, it's talking about magicians or soothsayers or astrologers, that type of thing. Occasionally, it could mean someone who interprets dreams. But what we know about these magi is that they were very learned men of their time. They were wise, of course. Likely, you know, very well educated, the Princeton and Harvard types of their day. They were always seeking truth to be found in the stars, in these heavenly bodies that are hung up in the sky at night. They studied these lights. They knew about them. They recorded their movements. They studied the constellations in search for meaning and depth of life and truth. They were very, very smart people, and they recognized that this star, that this light that appeared in the sky, something great had taken place in Israel because this star has now risen. So they see this particular star, bright and high in the sky, and they recognized this difference about it. They knew that there was something special, that there's something different. So they followed it. They saw this bright light, this star, and they followed it. They followed the star in search of something more for their minds to study. They followed the star in search of meaning. They followed the star in search of depth to life. They followed the star in search of worship. They followed the star. They saw the star, so they followed the star. I think it's important that we recognize both of those things. They saw it and they followed it. So St. Augustine, many, many, many generations ago, once in preaching about this passage, this is what he had to say. He said, it's not enough to see the star. It's necessary to follow it. It's not enough to know Christ. It is necessary to worship and adore him. Or, in other words, that Hayes might say, we have to add the soap. The water doesn't do all the work by itself. Just to be clear in this analogy that I'm running with today, the water is to see Jesus, the soap is to follow and to worship Jesus. So the church now, in the church, we're in this time of Epiphany. Today is not the day of Epiphany. Today is the day we're celebrating Epiphany. That actually takes place on January 6th. But we're celebrating it today and over the next several weeks until the beginning of Lent. The church time of Epiphany is the celebration of what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us by bringing his light into the world and for the entirety of the world. Not only for the Hebrew people, right? For the entirety of the world, so that salvation comes to all. Salvation comes to all. And the star that the Magi, that the wise men followed that day, that time, is the light of Christ. That is that light. So we Christians today thus are enabled by Christ to be the light that others follow to come to him, to come to Jesus. And the season of Epiphany, then, friends, is the epitome of why. Why we do anything outside the walls of the church. Outside the walls of the space where we are right now. Outside the walls of Resurrection Hall. Outside the walls of our homes. This is the reason. Epiphany is the epitome of why we do anything outside of our walls. We have received the light. The light dwells within us. And we serve now as beacons of that light to a weary world. So, back to the Magi, the wise men. They followed this light. But why? Why did they follow this light? You know, I've always been a logical thinker. In my mind wants answers to things like intent. Like, why did something happen? Or purpose. These are the first questions that usually come to my mind. And so why did these wise men follow the star? Scripture tells us why. They were, again, we know that they were the learned men of their time, that they were quite smart, they were educated, they were great thinkers. They knew customs outside of their own traditions, as a matter of fact. They knew of these Hebrew customs that said that the star would rest over top of the birth of where the king was to be born. So they had heard about these things. And they wanted to know why. Well, what is this worship all about? We're going to follow this light. And the story tells us, just as simply as it can, the ultimate reason why they did these things, the sole purpose for their journey, whether they fully realized it or not, the sole purpose for their journey was to worship. It's to worship the new king. The sole purpose for traveling hundreds, if not thousands of miles, barefoot or maybe riding on camels or horses or whatever it was, their sole purpose was to worship Jesus. The point of the light being revealed to them, again, way outside the bounds of the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, the point of the light being revealed to them was to bring them to worship. Bring them to worship. They even said as much, didn't they? They said, "We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." After discerning the evil intentions of Herod, they followed the light. They found the child who was born the king. And in verse 11, we read that going into the house, they fulfilled what they came to do. Going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. They fell down on their knees and they worshiped him. Always, the object and the intent of the journey was worship. That was always the worship. So today, some 2,000 years after the Magi fell down and worshiped Jesus, some 1,500 years after St. Augustine reminded us that it's not enough to see the light of Christ, but to follow and to worship him, we look at our own journey. We look at our own journey, yes, together as the body of Christ here at St. John's Parish Church, as we continue to listen to and to follow the Holy Spirit in missions, in evangelism, in discipleship, in the development of our new church property, but also, friends, as individuals. As individuals, as we recognize and we follow Jesus in order to worship him more fully. The Old Testament, in the prophet Isaiah that we heard this morning as well, it speaks to the eternal nature of such. As we, both as individuals and corporately together, as we continually ask the Lord for direction in our lives. This is what Isaiah's prophecy says. It says, arise, arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth. That sounds familiar. Darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness, the people. Darkness will cover the earth, but an even greater darkness will cover people. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Beloved, friends, brothers and sisters, we have the light of Christ richly dwelling in us for a reason. For a reason. So that others will see the light, recognize the light, and be drawn to the light. The reason for anyone to ever be drawn to the light of Christ is always to worship the Lord. Always to worship the Lord. The world we live in, I don't have to remind you, is constantly full of darkness, of greed, oppression, deviance, disobedience, addiction, sickness, cancer, betrayal, and every other kind of brokenness that we can imagine. So in my logical mind, I think of ways like this that says there has to be a point and an object of our journey as Christians. There has to be a point and an object of our worship as Christians, of our journey as Christians. So now we are doing our best to follow the light of Jesus, just like the Magi, following the light that they saw through a lost and broken world. The object of that journey, the intent of that journey, is no different than theirs was, to worship Jesus, to fall down before Jesus and worship him, to come to him, to follow him, to worship him. And the world does its best to break us down. We know that. Quite honestly, unfortunately, sometimes the church does a good job of that as well. But following Jesus in order to worship him is the most important thing that any of us will ever do. He has agreed to make the journey light and worth the miles of travel. He has willingly taken on all of the brokenness upon himself. My brokenness, your brokenness. And friends, this is eternal and everlasting truth. This is objective truth. The good news of Jesus Christ, that he came into the world to save broken people from sin, is the truth that is worth the journey. And our best response is to fall down and worship him. So I ask, and I would like all of us to truly ponder this today. What is the intent of your journey? What is the intent of my journey? Am I following Jesus? Why am I following Jesus? What's the intent? What's the intent and what is the object? Is the intent to help raise my status socially? Because this is what good upstanding members of society do, they go to church. Is the intent to come to church on Sunday mornings because that's what I've always done? Sunday morning, I wake up, I make my cup of coffee, I get dressed, and I go to church. Is the intent to go and to dress up, to look nice for other people? What is the intent? Why are we on this journey? Am I following Jesus? Why am I following Jesus? Can the answer to that question be that I truly know and need to come to the end of myself? Because I am a lost and broken person who is journeying through this world. I need to have a Savior. I cannot save myself. Not one of us can do that. Not one of us can save ourselves. I can't save anyone. Only the Lord can do that. What is the intent of our worship? Are we following Jesus? The bottom line is that His truth, the objective truth of Jesus Christ coming into the world to save sinners, is enduring, is the only thing that is enduring throughout a broken world. And this is what Epiphany draws out of us. Epiphany draws out of us service to God and others through our worship of Christ. And then it brings us back to worship of Him. We need the soap to go along with the water. The water can't do everything by itself. So we see Jesus, friends. We see Jesus. We follow Jesus. And we worship Jesus. We fall down before Him and worship Him. And because of Him, because of that great light that He has already given us, we can then be the light of Jesus to a weary world. Amen.
You step down into darkness, open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore You, hope of a life spent with You. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that You're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly You came to the earth You created, all for love's sake became poor. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that You're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. No, I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that You're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.